Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wee-oo, wee-oo, alert, alert. Hey, Alarmy, we've got good news. Mark your calendars for Friday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time because we're doing another Alarmist live show. For our special Halloween event, we'll be figuring out who's to blame for the notorious serial killer, Ed Gein. It's going to be super spooky. Plus, our special guest is Amy Garcia. You might know her from shows like Lucifer and Dexter. And of course, the whole gang's going to be there. I'm talking producer Amanda, fact checker Chris, Alarmy liaison Clayton Early, and TBD guest experts. Plus, you're going to be there. That's right. Because when you buy a ticket to our live show, it's like you're also joining in on the action. You're going to be able to, in real time, tell us who you think is to blame and chat with other Alarmy members about the verdict. Get your tickets now at houseseats.live. Tickets are name your price, so go ahead and name that price. $1, $100, $1 million, $1 billion. There are so many options. We hope to see you there on Friday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest disasters and figure out who's to blame. In honor of Halloween, for the month of October, we'll be covering some of the scariest disasters of all time. And today, we're figuring out who's to blame for Jaws. That's right, Jaws, the movie. But like all the deaths that happened surrounding the shark, and you get it. Here's what you need to know. Based on the novel by Peter Benchley of the same name, the film Jaws tells the story of one very big, very hungry, and very scary shark that wreaks havoc on the shores of the small resort town of Amity Island. Directed by up-and-comer Steven Spielberg, the movie starts with one of the best introductions to one of the most terrifying monsters of all time. Jaws, a 3-ton, 25-foot-long great white shark lurking in the summer waters off the beach. Within minutes, a young woman going skinny dipping at night is attacked. The shark thrashes her around the surface, ultimately dragging her underwater to her death. The next day, the woman's remains are found on the beach. The town's relatively new deputy of police, Chief Martin Brody, quickly realizes he has a problem. The medical examiner confirms that the attack was done by a shark, and Brody sets off to close the beaches. But his attempt is thwarted by the mayor of Amity Island, Larry Vaughn, who fears that the beach closure will ruin the town's summer tourist season, its primary source of income. The medical examiner backtracks his previous statement and now says it's possible that the woman's death could have been due to a boating accident. Overruled, Brody reluctantly allows the beaches to stay open. But unfortunately, there's another attack. And this time, it's a young boy. Later, the young boy's mother puts up signs offering a $3,000 bounty for the shark. Suddenly, all the men in town think they're the person for the job. Quint, a professional shark hunter, offers to do it for $10,000, but local leaders decline. Marine biologist Matt Hooper arrives in town to figure out what to do about the shark. He examines the remains of the young female victim and assures Chief Brody that her death was not caused by a boat propeller, but by a shark. He's sure of it. A group of men out bounty hunting return to the dock with a tiger shark. The residents of Amity Island are relieved that the problem is solved. The deadly shark has been killed. But later that night, Hooper cuts the shark open looking for the remains of the victim and determines they've got the wrong shark. He and Brody head out to sea looking for it, only to find the wreckage of another shipping vessel whose captain has become yet another victim of the sharks. Hooper tells the mayor he found a large shark's tooth protruding from the sunken boat, but since he dropped it after being spooked by the dead body and can't provide it as evidence, the mayor refuses to shut down the beaches for the 4th of July holiday.
A shark is attracted to the exact kind of splashing and activity that occurs whenever human beings go in swimming. You cannot avoid it.
If you open the beaches on the 4th of July, it's like ringing the dinner bell, for Christ's sake.
Mr. Vaughn.
Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going to have a summer
unless beaches,
you
leave
this crop. We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark.
The next day, on the 4th of July, there's another attack and Brody's son narrowly escapes. Killing this shark has now become personal for Chief Brody. Chief Brody finally convinces Mayor Vaughn to hire Quint to kill the shark. Brody, Hooper, and Quint set out on Quint's boat, the Orca. It's not long before the three guys are confronted by the shark at sea. They determine he's a mighty big fish.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Quint harpoons it with a flotation attached to it so that they can track it, but the shark escapes and disappears. That night, the men retreat to the galley of the ship, and over a meal of what seems to be canned corned beef hash, exchange battle scars over drinks. Quint reveals to the men that he was a survivor on the USS Indianapolis, a submarine that was attacked during World War I and sank, and whose crew were mostly eaten by sharks as they waited to be rescued.
Shark comes to the nearest man, that man, he start pounding, hollering, and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes, like a doll's eyes.
Just then, the shark returns and causes damage to the boat. But the men are lucky when it suddenly leaves and they get to live another night. In the morning, the shark comes back to get them. Quint harpoons more flotation barrels to the shark, and they tie them to the boat, but the shark will not be dragged to shore. It starts to swim in the opposite direction, flooding the deck and the engine. They cut the line, but their boat has suffered too much damage. Against his better judgment, and obsessed with killing this shark, Quint overexerts the boat's engine, trying to draw the shark to shore, causing the engine to burn out. The men are running out of options. Hooper jumps into the water in his shark-proof cage so that he can inject it with a hypodermic spear filled with poison. But once inside the water, Hooper drops the spear. Hooper barely escapes from the cage and swims toward a seedbed to hide from the shark. At this point, the shark is furious. It leaps toward the boat and causes severe damage to it. Quint slowly slides down the deck toward the shark. He struggles to stay alive, but he's eventually devoured by the shark right before Chief Brody's eyes. At this point, things are not looking good for Brody, but he manages to grab a scuba tank and throws it into the shark's mouth. Then he gets one of Quint's rifles from the boat and, just as the shark starts swimming towards him, shoots it right in the mouth.
Fire, you son of a...
causing the tank to explode inside the shark. The shark is dead. Fun Facts, a.k.a. Death Stats. Jaws premiered on June 20th, 1975. It made a splash amongst moviegoers who swarmed theaters standing in lines that went around the block. Jaws set the precedent for the summer movie blockbuster after becoming the first film to ever earn more than $100 million domestically. The mechanical shark used in the movie was nicknamed Bruce after Spielberg's lawyer, Bruce Raymer. According to IMDb, despite reports to the contrary, Bruce was actually tested in water before it arrived in Martha's Vineyard and worked perfectly. However, the tests were done in a non-saltwater tank at Universal Studios. Once it was placed in actual ocean water, the salt played havoc with the shark's controls. This was a major setback to the movie. The movie stars Roy Scheider as Martin Brody, Richard Dreyfuss as Matt Hooper, Robert Shaw as Quint, and Lorraine Gary as Ellen Brody. Jaws was nominated for 4 Oscars in 1976, for which it won 3. Best Original Score, Best Editing, and Best Sound Mixing. It lost to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for Best Picture. Jaws is one of only 6 horror movies to ever be nominated for Best Picture. Others on that list include The Exorcist, Silence of the Lambs, The Sixth Sense, Black Swan, and Get Out. In the movie, the total number of humans killed by shark is 5. The total number of sharks killed by humans is 2. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello, Rebecca.
And our very special guest is a return favorite, Paul F. Tompkins. Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Wow.
I quickly hid my video right before you introduced me so I could actually make an entrance.
Oh, really?
I hope it was
very
effective.
Thank you.
Oh, this is all I needed to hear. Well, goodbye.
Now, Paul is the host of Stay F. Homekins podcast.
Co-host
with Janie Haddad Tompkins.
Janie Haddad Tompkins, my wife.
This co-host.
You know, I had a nationwide search. my wife, Janie, early into quarantine, I think it was like early, but also long enough where you were really feeling like, oh, we're doing this. We're staying hidden away in our house. She suggested we do a weekly podcast that was just us kind of catching up. And it quickly became for us like a sort of date night thing where we would have a nice dinner where we would sit at the table once a week and eat dinner like human beings. And then afterwards, we would have a drink and record the podcast. And it's just It is just a stream of consciousness conversation between the two of us, and it goes where it goes, and it's been a really wonderful thing for us to do. And yeah, so it's like if you it's like visiting with friends. That's what it's like, you know, that you're just hanging out with us, and you're forbidden to speak.
That is just so lovely. I would love to hang out with friends and not have to speak.
You can do it every Friday night wherever you get your podcasts.
But Paul, you're like a huge Jaws head, right?
Huge. That's very true. Very accurate.
When do you remember seeing it for the first time? Because so I'm from Miami. I saw Jaws as a child.
I was a kid as well. I saw it in the theater when it came out. And I was very young. But I insisted I really wanted to go see this movie. And my dad took me and my little brother. It was too much for my little brother, that was too young for sure. Like, I already shouldn't have been there, but he should not have been there at all. And so my dad had to like wait out in the lobby with him, or maybe they went off and had their own adventure and then came back and got me. But I stayed and watched the whole movie, and I loved it. It was scary to me. I love the ocean. I love going in the ocean, but I remain scared of sharks. And let's be honest, all things that live in the ocean, but maybe turtles I'm not scared of. I will only go out as far as I can stand in the ocean.
I think that's very reasonable to only go out as far as you can stand personally. I don't think anyone should be going out further. The ocean has a mind of its own. Mm-hmm. As we know.
Oh yeah. The ocean will always win.
No, Amanda, Chris, did you guys watch Jaws as a child?
I don't remember watching Jaws, but I do remember we used to visit Lake George as a kid, and I used to be I made the mistake one time of wearing my goggles in the lake.
Ugh.
That's
and I think I just maybe I saw a wood plank or something. Like, I saw something so
garbage,
benign, but I was
my own foot.
Yeah, no, but I was so scared from then on, and it's just it's no good.
Amanda, what about you?
Oh, yes. I mean, okay, so I did not see Jaws as a child. I don't remember that, but I'm not as much scared of sharks as I am frightened by seaweed.
Because of the lice or
lice?
Lice?
What about... Because you guys don't know that, like, sea lice is on seaweed. Don't ever, if you ever see seaweed, run.
You can't run. You're usually
I'm not
sea lice.
Sea lice. You guys don't know about sea lice? No.
What is sea lice?
I'm not crazy.
Sea lice.
All right.
Fact checker. Sounds like I gotta get on. We need to know what she's talking
this
about.
This honestly feels like a SpongeBob subplot.
It says sea lice is actually a symptom. It's saying that it's red itchiness kind of after you swim. The causes, okay, are jellyfish larvae
in the water. That's right. That hangs out in the seaweed.
Rebecca.
Gets stuck in the seaweed. I'm not okay. lying.
Not, hold on a second. Lice, you sound like you're catching up to what to this.
Welcome to the alarm.
Yeah, sea lice is jellyfish spore that get in there. Yeah, that's what he said.
Look, I know. I've been running from sea lice all my life. I know it's real.
Wait, is this a thing you knew about as a kid?
Sea lice? Yeah.
Yes.
Stop saying sea lice. Yes, of course I knew about it as a kid.
We gotta wrap up sea lice and get to the
journey. Can we just do five more minutes on sea lice and then we'll move on to
I'm sorry, Paul, you can't. Come back another time.
Please put a pin in this. Readers, listeners.
We're talking about it, yeah.
Readers.
wait, Paul, there's so many things to put up on the board, you guys. Like,
oh yeah.
I thought this was going to be a clear cut, investigation. Mm-hmm. But it turns out there are so many things to put up on the board. And I want to start off by putting nighttime skinny dipping. mm-hmm. up on the board. So as we all know, the movie starts with the party at there's a bonfire, and we meet this woman who's oddly sitting far, like not in the circle of people. She's just kind of sitting on the sidelines.
But it's very Manson family, like the way she's looking at everybody. Well, she's looking at that boy.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Chrissy Atkins is her name.
Chrissy Atkins. So Chrissy now has skinny dipping on her mind. Mm-hmm. And do we think that the sexiness of skinny dipping lured the shark?
This is, hold on. This is some real blame the victim stuff.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Scandalized.
You're basically saying she was asking for.
Yeah. Did you see the way she wasn't dressed?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying she deserved it. I'm just saying the shark was interested in it. That's what brought him out of the
shark couldn't concentrate on its usual stuff because there's this naked girl. I understand what you're saying. Sure.
Well, I do think, to your point, Rebecca, that possibly because she didn't have a swimsuit on, she'd be easier to mistake for a seal or something.
Right.
Wow. But wait, I thought it was the wetsuits that made sharks think we were seals.
I think they do because they're black, right? They're usually black. And so
we're black and shiny, yeah. So glossy.
I'm going to Google what makes sharks think we're seals.
But this is, okay, so, but.
Anyway at the end.
Anyway, question mark.
We don't want to victim blame here. We're not going to victim blame. I'm just wondering, you know, why is it that the shark starts now?
There is a little bit of victim blaming that you can make, that you're not supposed to go in the ocean at night. It's extremely dangerous. You're not really supposed to go. You shouldn't go in the ocean by yourself, you know, without somebody there that's keeping track of you, because there's so many things that can go wrong. And if you're by yourself, and even if you are a strong swimmer, you know what you're doing, it still might not make any difference. So it's doubly foolish to go in at night when you can't see what's going on.
I couldn't agree with you more. So now I want to talk about seasonal income, because Amity is a seasonal town. Right. And this means that if the businesses don't make a certain amount of profit during the summer, they can't sustain themselves for the rest of the year. So this is why the mayor is so obsessed with not closing the beaches.
Exactly. And it's very easy to blame the mayor, and we'll get more into his thing, I'm sure. But if you remember in the town, there's a few interactions with the town and then a big town meeting. The only person that wants to close the beaches is Brody. He's the only one. And well, Hooper. But Hooper's not from there, you know. But he's the only person on Amity Island who says we should close the beaches for the public good. Everybody else is willing to roll the dice because they're under the thumb of the summer dollars.
So you're saying this village needs to sort of diversify its portfolio of resource income, of just come up with some new revenue streams, sort of.
Yes, that's
invest
exactly
in a karaoke
what I'm
bar or something like that.
Well, we also have to put up the mayor and the townspeople.
Yeah. This is going to be tough.
Oh, so okay, capitalism. We'll say $7. Capitalism is a problem.
Greedy capitalism that goes up on the board. Now, a little more about this mayor. Now, I was in rewatching the movie. I suspect that he has other interests at heart other than the safety of his people. Mm-hmm. Because when there's a scene where he approaches Chief Brody when we first meet the mayor. I think he's wearing a seersucker suit, and he comes up to Chief Brody and he gets out of a car that says Vaughn's Realty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mayor is called Larry Vaughn, and I mean, I don't know. I call me a detective, but that seems to me like he's also a real estate mogul. Not only is he the mayor, but a real estate mogul.
Your instincts are correct, because of course he does. In the book, they go into it in much greater detail that he does do the real estate on Amity. And also in the book, he gets into trouble with the mob. He is indebted to the mob. So he has, that's also a reason for him to not miss out on those summer dollars, because he's in over his head.
I mean,
Not to make
things political, but do it. Doesn't he sound very familiar? Doesn't he sound like a familiar character in 2020 who's willing to put people's safety, willing to put profit over people's safety?
Yes. Kramer? Joe Rogan, the host of Fear Factor. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
It was so hard to ignore the parallels when the quarantine started and all the all these various towns that were reopening after like a month. They're like, we're fine. It was absolutely impossible to, if you have even a passing knowledge of Jaws, to ignore those parallels.
Yeah. Oh, so you were thinking of Jaws when the quarantine started.
Oh, absolutely. Because there would be these, I think the first one I can kind of remember was maybe in Georgia, where it's like, yeah, we're not closing down the beaches, literally the beaches. Like, right. We're not closing down the beaches. And it's like, what are you fucking doing? It was mind boggling that there's like such a pop culture scenario that we are all familiar with. Even people who have not seen that movie know it. And then still literally a mayor or a governor is going to be like, we're going to keep this open, even though there's potentially danger. We think it's fine here. It's bananas.
So maybe Jaws wasn't as effective as a film as we think it was. Maybe Spielberg fell short.
I guess we should put Spielberg up on the board.
Affected culture.
No, you're telling
kind
me.
Kind of a failure.
That this 2020 could have been stopped or avoided.
If Jaws was better.
If Jaws was bigger. No, I don't know if it could be better. But
if
bigger.
Jaws had resonated more with politicians.
That's probably it.
2020 could have been the disaster of 2020 could have been mitigated. If we had seen more scenes of Larry Vaughn, like after the attacks, you know, and after he finally agrees to hire Quint, if like we see him go home and like sit at his kitchen table and start crying, yeah. Like just heaving sobs, and he doesn't get reelected, and right. You know, exactly. All this shit. If he, yeah,
there are real consequences. Yeah.
And that's on Spielberg.
That's on Spielberg.
I mean, there's other, you know, bad things that the mayor does. Like he doesn't close the beach after Hooper. The expert shows up and he's like, this is not the shark. The tiger shark is not the shark. He's like, no. It's the shark. We're opening up the beaches. Then, you know, he encourages people don't even want to go in the water, but
yes.
He encourages them to do it for the economy.
That weird old family.
Which I think we need to put that weird old family up on the board, and I'll tell you why.
Agreed. Okay? Agreed.
So the mayor, it is an incredible scene. The mayor wants to get people into the water. He goes up to this guy who I'm assuming he knows from the golf course or something like that. And he says, hey, buddy, go in the water. All he says is, go in the water, you. And the guy turns to his wife.
Well, I just put on my suntan lotion. Yes. I love it. He tries to get out of it.
I'm just letting my suntan lotion dry. Soak in. That's a classic. Which is honestly a very good excuse. But the mayor is not having it. So he looks over to his wife. His wife gives him a look like, I don't want to go in. But then I guess he gives her the signal. She stands up. He doesn't say, come, you're coming with me. She just follows him. And then they grab the hands of their three children and take them into the water.
The 70-year-old parents.
Seems like possibly take their
pre-K kids. Yeah.
It seems like a grandchildren's situation.
No, Paul is right. There are so many questionable parent-child casting choices.
Oh, you know what? Let's also put the patriarchy up there.
Oh,
the wife just, there's a lot of male themed stupidity in this movie. So toxic masculinity could also go up there.
That's right. But
yeah, the wife just stands up, immediately when her old husband does, and then they're going to go in and potentially die together.
So I also think we need to put up the medical examiner on the board.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's a worm.
Yeah.
Oh, a sniveling worm.
Yes, He's the first one to say, he calls Brody up and he says that the woman died from a shark attack. Then all mm-hmm. of a sudden, Brody's like, okay, I got to close the beaches.
Yep.
I spoke to the expert. He said it's bad. And
so-called elites. Yeah.
And then the mayor shows up with the medical examiner. Brody's like, and says that it could have been a boating accident. Brody yeah. looks at the medical examiner like saying like, bro, like you told me this was a shark. And he goes, I don't know. It could be a boating accident. I mean, what a backpedaling worm.
I would imagine he took an oath. Don't medical examiners have to take an oath? There has to be some sort of medical training, right?
Are they doctors?
They have to be, right?
I think they must be, right? Yeah. Oh, well, you don't have to be a doctor to know the body. You know what I'm saying?
A medical degree is often required.
Often? What?
A coroner is not necessarily a medical doctor, but a lawyer or even a layperson. Or just somebody who happens to be in the room with the dead body. No, that's...
Did you?
No. But
that's all... wild to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, so that guy's a scumbag and apparently not doesn't even have a degree as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, plus he was going to smoke during that one examination.
Oh, yeah.
Before Hooper stops him. Fucking disgusting. They're in a room with a rotting corpse. It's like, I'm just going to have a Pall Mall.
So where he's up on the board, I also think we have to put Chief Brody himself up on the board.
This is tough. This is tough.
But he does make that first call. You can't put the first victim on him, little Chrissy, mm-hmm. but little Alex, mm-hmm. that's on Brody. That's on Brody.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to remember. I believe his authority was overridden. I think that ultimately it was the mayor's decision that trumped his decision. I don't know if he was able to in the interest of public safety override the mayor's decision. I think he had no choice.
That's a good point. I wonder, we got to look up the hierarchy, Chris, perhaps of can a mayor overrule the chief of police?
I think I feel like that's what happened, and it's embarrassing because I've seen this movie so many times. But in that conversation that they have on the boat, and then they have the town meeting where Brody proposes it, and then the mayor says only 24 hours or something, or 48 hours or something. And so I think that and then Brody says, I didn't agree to that. So there is some push and pull there. I don't. Look, this is very close to my heart. So it's hard for me. It's hard for me to assign any blame to Chief Brody, because if he didn't even want to live on Amity, if he hadn't even been there, what would have happened? How many more people would have died?
So what I'm hearing is that nobody wants to put any kind of Brody up on the board.
I mean, you could put him up there, but he's not going to stay up there. That's all I'm saying.
And I will say, just because we give out the big slap, which is sort of a consolation prize.
I think that actually started with Paul's the Chernobyl episode. Was the
Did it really?
Yes, I believe so.
That's exciting.
That's cool. But I was going to say that Brody did get his own big slap in one of the scenes. The mother of Alex.
Literally, yeah.
Alex's mother slapped him, gave him a big slap right in front of everybody. It was humiliating for being responsible for the death of her son.
Now, I have to say, we sometimes make the mistake of not putting the literal murderer up on the board. And so I just want to make sure that we're going to, Rebecca, you have intent to put the shark jaws up on the board.
That's a really good point, Amanda. Now, if you scroll down my notes, you'll see that nowhere have I written the shark. So
I did notice that.
Okay, good.
Being a little worried, I just wanted to check.
So that's a good call, and those are good instincts, and I think we should put the shark up on the board.
Let's get into it, because I got a lot to say about this.
Tell me.
This is my longstanding beef with sharks, right? Sharks are some of the oldest creatures on Earth. They've remained virtually unchanged since prehistoric times. They got smaller as other things got smaller. Here's what we're always told. Is that sharks actually don't like eating human flesh. It's the only way they know how to taste things is to bite into them. They can't tell if we're SEALs or not. They think we're SEALs sometimes. These guys got to fucking get a clue. They've had long enough to figure this out. They should know by now. If sharks really don't want to eat people, they should absolutely know what we're shaped like, what we look like, how we swim. They should absolutely know, like, the way we're told, like, the way we swim mimics a fish in distress. We're clearly not fish. Like, if this guy can see us by this point, sharks should know, oh, I don't like that. That's one of those things I don't like. So I'm not even going to bother fucking biting into it to see if I like it. I know on sight. If they know on sight, like, oh, the shiny black thing. Love it. My favorite. They get a little bit closer. You're telling me they can't figure out, like, oh, that's not a seal. I'm going to move on. So I feel like sharks do bear some blame. Their stupid system of biting into a thing to see if they like it or not.
That's really well put. I mean, your case is solid. Now let's take a quick break to speak with guest expert George Burgess. He's an ichthyologist, or a marine biologist, who studies sharks. Let's hear what he has to say. So what types of sharks are most likely to attack humans? Can you tell us more about these species, like where they live and what their feeding habits are?
Yes. Well, the sharks, of course, that we're most concerned about are those that get to a larger size. Keep in mind that not all sharks are white sharks that get to 20 feet long. Most sharks, in fact, are well under 10 feet in length, and most of them under 6 feet. A big group of sharks that live in the deeper sea sometimes don't make a foot in length. So not all sharks are big. Not all of them have large teeth that can do damage to us. And of course, not all of them are actively found in areas where we as humans interact. And where is that? That's the shallow areas off our coastline. We enter the sea as non water breathing animals. We're eco-tourists as we visit the near shore environment, and that means we don't get our get deeper than about 6 feet most of the time, because we want to keep our heads above, toes touching the bottom. So most people that enter the sea then are within in depths of 6 feet or less, and the sharks that live in that area, usually the surf zone. Although sometimes bays and lagoons, but primarily in the surf zone, that's a good area to be a shark. And so certain species of sharks are found near shore, and some of those sharks get to some size. And so what happens is what we have is ecotourists interacting with sharks in their native habitat, and so sometimes interactions occur. On the east coast of the United States, the primary sharks that one is most likely to interact with in the sea would be black tip sharks, spinner sharks, bull sharks, and certain hammerheads. Now, of those, the hammerheads are virtually non-dangerous because they simply don't interact with humans that much, and they have small mouths. Whereas the other guys, which can get 6 feet to 10 feet in length, depending on the species, can cause damage whether they intend to bite a human or not. And what occurs in the surf zone, we think, is that sharks are making mistakes in an arena where visibility is poor because of breaking surf and turbulence, where those breaking waves and currents are difficult to deal with if you're trying to make a living, and sharks are out there. And so they have to make quick decisions and quick grabs, oftentimes in relative blindness. And sometimes the things they bite at are the movements of human legs and arms, primarily in the surf zone, where we, of course, are extremely uncoordinated and ungraceful. There's nothing more ungraceful than a human being trying to swim. So kicking of the feet, the splashing of the hands, the yelling, other sorts of things that are going on in as we play in their dining room have lead to potential interactions.
Tune in this Thursday to hear my full interview with George Burgess about how scared we really should be about sharks. Who he blames for Jaws will shock you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, okay, so I'm glad you brought it up, Amanda. Thank you. So we got to put bounty as motivation up on the board.
Yes. Again, I would say yes, because at one point when they have the beaches still open on 4th of July and they're worried about, well, okay, we'll take precautions just in case of the shark. There's this gigantic Coast Guard boat, right? We never see that again. All those guys with rifles that they point at two children with a fake fin. And it's like, where did those guys go? Aren't they?
Why did they call the Coast Guard?
Yes. Why did they? So there's a second attack. It's like, well, we kind of, I guess we already embarrassed ourselves in front of the Coast Guard. They don't believe us that there's a shark. So we'll let them go. But no, that's the same day that the shark goes into the estuary and eats that guy in the boat.
Yeah, the pond. Yeah.
You guys okay over there? And then he gets eaten.
which seemed creepy.
It brings me to my other point. The boat, maybe we should put the fact that the boat was actually too small.
The Orca was not the appropriate boat for that mission. Even Hooper, remember Hooper has that nice boat, like a nice gigantic boat. What the fuck? Why did anybody agree to Quint? Why did anyone agree to his weird terms?
Do we put him up on the board?
100%. Quint must go up on that board. This guy, here's how we get into the toxic masculinity.
Okay.
Quint is such a great character, right? Is a great character. And I grew up loving this character. I've seen this movie a million times. And then I think last year or the year before, I watched it in a way, it just dawned on me all of a sudden, like, this guy's a fucking asshole. He's the worst. He's like, he's being a dick to everybody. He thinks only I alone can do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's wrong about everything. He's fucking wrong over and over again. And then he gets eaten by the shark. Like, his whole plan is terrible. He didn't know what he was in over his head. He didn't know what he was doing, and he wouldn't admit it. He would not admit that he was out of his depth with this particular shark. Also he had a weird shark vendetta because of his World War II experience, right? Being on the Indianapolis. Quint sucks. He's a terrible person. He's a great character, but a terrible guy.
Yeah.
He's not cool. Like, we have it in our, I think people have it in their minds that Quint is like a cool character. He's if you met this guy in real life, you would despise him.
That's
he would
so
be the
true.
Worst.
It's so true. He's got a bad temper too. How about when Brody's calling the Coast Guard? Finally, he's like, I'm calling the Coast Guard. And he comes in and he just slams the radio with a bat.
His radio. His own radio with a bat.
And then the water comes into the boat because of the shark that's chasing them. Yeah. And he's the one who burns out the engine on the boat because water's getting into it. And he's just like, go faster, faster. I mean, so much wrong with that guy.
Some Moby Dick shit. You know what I mean? It's this guy's the worst.
But he does know how to deliver a monologue.
Great monologue.
Now, I read that the monologue wasn't in the book.
I think it was, if memory serves, it was not in the original screenplay, and it was written during filming to give some weight to Quint's character, to give him a personal reason why he would be doing all this crazy stuff, like why he was so single-minded about this shark. And it's weird to think that it was not there from the beginning, because if without it, it's just like, oh, this guy's just completely insane. But if he has that backstory, you sort of understand. I don't know. It still sounds crazy when you say it, that he's mad at sharks. So he wants to kill this one shark.
I mean,
like, he's racist against sharks is really what it comes down to.
It's kind of like Rebecca and her sea lice.
Yeah, but I haven't like committed my life to killing sea lice. I mean, that you know of.
Yet.
That you know of.
Well, but if there's been a sea lice outbreak in town, and somebody, you go to a town meeting, you scratch your fingernails on the blackboard, and then you dictate your terms.
I would do that about sea lice.
There we go. There we go.
Got me. I mean, is there anything else that we want to put up on the board?
Here's the thing. One of the things that's great about Jaws, it's a very lean story. And I think that the people that we have on the factors that we have on the board, I think it's pretty much there. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. I think we covered it all.
Okay, guys, enough joking around. Time for business. Who is to blame for Jaws? Nighttime skinny dipping / night swimming, seasonal income, Mayor Larry Vaughn, capitalism, Steven Spielberg, weird old family, patriarchy, toxic masculinity, medical examiner, Chief Brody, sharks and their stupid system of biting into a thing to see if they like it or not, Jaws, it's Jaws the shark itself.
That's right. Sharks, and then subheading that shark.
Yes. The actual shark. Bounty as motivation, too small boat, Sam Quint.
Now, wait a minute. Where did the name Sam come from?
Is it not Sam?
No.
I thought it was Sam Quint. Did I think it's Sam Quint?
It's Sam.
Yeah, maybe I
what?
I think his name is Sam Quint.
Paul, have you ever seen Jaws?
They only call him Quint, I guess. But
they only call him Quint. I don't remember him having a first name in the book either.
Oh. Well, it's all over Wiki fandom. So off the bat, I think we can take the skinny dipping off the board.
Agreed.
Okay, fine. I think we could take Chief Brody off the board.
Thank you.
Because I thought Paul made a really good point, and if anything, he was trying his best. And thank God he was there, because otherwise it could have been, the death toll could have been much higher.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now I think we can take the weird old family off.
I hope they learn from this.
Spielberg is still on the board for not making it a bigger deal, right?
Here's what I would say. Yeah, I think he did his best as well. And I think if people don't, If you're a mayor of a beach town, you don't see yourself in that. That's on you. Like, it's been laid out very well, I think. Mm-hmm. What right and wrong is.
Yeah, and he's only got 2 hours. You know, the movie's already kind of long.
That's right. Yeah.
So those extra scenes, they would have made it a 3-hour movie, because you said you wanted the mayor to go home and cry and, you know, have a realization of what he's
It's like to look down, and then he thinks he sees literal blood on his hands, but it's just
yeah,
a hallucination of grief,
getting inside the mind. But also, I'd love to see sort of the bureaucratic sort of fallout of his career. I mean, I think that might be the bigger motivator for some of these politicians to make the right decision if they were to see that.
Yeah, that adds like 30 minutes.
It would be much drier. The movie would be much drier. But possibly more effective. So.
But to see like a campaign ad from his opponent, like an attack ad, where it's just like all clips of him throughout the movie saying the beaches are open, the sun is shining, everyone's having a wonderful time.
That's a smart idea.
But you know what? I bet that exists. I bet that somebody has done that.
We're going to keep him on. Do we want to take seasonal income off?
I feel okay taking that off because it's tough. It's like, you know, you live in that area that is just kind of the deal, you know. I mean, you could try to think of other things to do for the rest of the year, but you know, I don't know. I can't completely blame that idea.
I think, but let this be a lesson learned to the small towns. You know,
expand your horizons a little bit.
Yeah,
open up a putt-putt. You know, 12
months. Exactly. Throw a pinball machine in there somewhere.
Now, I also think. Bounty as motivation. We can take that off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's not to blame for the
attacks.
It's not
to blame, but it, you know.
It's a weird way of handling it, but.
Yes, it really is.
It's so, when I think about it, it's so strange. It Why would that strange. Be the solution?
I mean, like,
and
the
they don't
day
even doubt it.
The day after it happened, she wanted revenge. The mother wanted revenge immediately for her sons. There was no mourning period. It was just go kill the shark.
Also, if there wasn't a bounty, they weren't going to do anything about the shark. They were just going to.
How can we get people excited about this? We got to offer some money.
Okay. So we've got the mayor, capitalism, patriarchy, toxic masculinity, medical examiner, sharks. Jaws, the monster, Too Small a Boat, and Sam Quint. What else do we think here?
I think we could take off the patriarchy because to me, toxic masculinity is a little crunchier.
Yeah.
It's crispy, crunchy. Yeah.
It's got a bite.
Nice. That's good. That's good. Too Small a Boat. That to me encompasses like, the reason why did they call the Coast Guard? That is really
But
dumb.
The boat wasn't too small. It got the job done. I mean, it crawled over the finish line.
I mean, at that point, it was 1/8 of a boat was left.
Right.
And he shot him. And I mean, really, the gun is what did it.
So, okay, we can take the boat off. Does toxic masculinity and Quint... I feel like those go hand in hand.
Right.
Agreed.
But a part of me wants to blame toxic masculinity over Quint. So we take
because
Quint
it's
off.
Yes, I agree because it's present in other people.
Yes.
As well.
I know you made a really good case for sharks not evolving. but I do think the shark Jaws is more to blame.
These attacks because then, he was quite evolved if you think about it. He was like a really smart shark. They kept calling him saying how smart he was.
So I'm gonna take sharks off and leave Jaws on because Jaws, you know, was out for blood. And so he wasn't just being a shark, he wanted to kill people.
So Mayor Vaughn, capitalism, toxic masculinity, medical examiner, and Jaws.
May I propose losing the medical examiner?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Boo.
Yeah,
boo.
But he sucks.
He sucks.
Like, but
he could get the slap. We got a slap here.
I don't know because between
he didn't take an oath. I mean, that's a loophole.
And he's not a doctor.
He's just some dude.
He's a helper.
Helper. Look for the helpers.
I think we could lose capitalism.
Really?
It doesn't.
Here's my argument for capitalism, is that without it, there is no – it's the overriding thing for the mayor to keep the beaches open. They're in this system where money is the most important thing. And even at the cost of human life, like potential cost of human life, it's absurd that this guy would risk – I don't know. I guess you could say there. It's one or the other. It's either you blame the individual for enacting the system, or you indict the system itself. I certainly don't mind indicting the individual and saying this guy had a choice to make and he made the wrong choice.
Because I guess there are, if he would have been a good mayor, he could have made the decision to still, while living in a capitalistic society, still close the beaches.
Yeah, man. Jimmy right? Carter gave up his peanut farm. You know what I mean?
Gavin right. Newsom closed Disneyland.
That's right. So yes, I think we do take capitalism.
Agreed.
Now, between the mayor, toxic masculinity, and Jaws.
Those are three biggies. They're all really good.
Okay, let's say this about Jaws. He's smart, sure. He's a shark. You know where he is. He's out in the ocean. The people that got killed, that didn't need to get killed, that were put in harm's way unknowingly, were the people on the beach, the swimmers, on the 4th of July weekend, after there had been an attack, and the mayor knew about it. So I feel like that takes some of the blame off the shark.
I mean, it is his world, right? The water is his domain.
Yes, that's his domain.
So what were they doing in the water?
Because Hooper says you need to starve him out. You need to take away his food source, right, and then he'll go someplace else. But as long as there's people going in the water, you know, he's going to go after them. And that's why so when they go out in the orca, they draw the shark away from the beach. So that's where the shark's intelligence works against him, is that he goes out after the smaller buffet of these three guys on this boat when – If he were truly brilliant, he could have lulled the town into a false sense of security, waited until everybody got back in the water, and then started – and then ate eight people in a row before they got out.
Okay, so you want me to take Jaws off the board?
I think so. And then here's my pitch. I think that we should send the mayor to jail and give toxic masculinity the big slap.
Yes,
what
I agree with that.
What do you guys think about that?
I'm in favor of that.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, that was easy. I'm calling it. Toxic masculinity. You're getting the big slap. Mayor Larry Vaughn, you're going to the alarmist jail. I would hate to share a cell with Mayor Larry Vaughn.
Oh, what a... Just self-pity. When he's like, my kids were on that beach too, Martin. It's like, you fucking weirdo. What's wrong with you?
Paul, we couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much for helping us get down to the bottom of who's to blame for Jaws.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to, I love talking about this movie, and I'm thrilled to be the person asked to discuss it with you guys. I'll see you for the Deep Blue Sea episode.
Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at TheAlarmistThe on Twitter, at TheAlarmistPodcast on Instagram, or email us at TheAlarmistPodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We will be continuing our Halloween-themed October month of disasters with Vlad the Impaler, the actual historical figure that Dracula is based off of.
Cheerios. Powered by ACAST.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.